Welcome back to Raw Thoughts. We have Sarah Brewer today coming on talking with us. She is a local photographer. She actually went to BSU for communications and business. And now we are hearing her story. So welcome, Sarah.
Oh, thank you, Mackenzie. It's really great to be here today with you.
Yes, yes. You actually are somebody that I sat down, had coffee with, after meeting at a networking event. And then I was like, you know, I think I want to start a podcast. And you're like, do it. I'll be there. I'll listen. I'll be on there. Like, whatever you got to do. I'm like, this is the first time meeting you. Like, okay. And you were actually the one that suggested this to me. So thank you.
Of course. Welcome. I know. Look what you're at now. You're already taking full steam ahead. And I'm really proud of you.
Oh, thanks. 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 So tell us a little bit about your story. Like, who are you? What are you doing? What's going on?
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I listened to some podcasts before this. So I'm like, I know exactly what to say. So I grew up in Astoria, Oregon, which is, you know, on the Oregon coast. Probably lots of people have seen it because of the Goonies. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely been the Pacific Northwest all my life. I moved to Kelso, Washington when I was about 6. Went to a very small school over there. I lived out in the country. I have older parents. They're both like 72 and 66 right now. So I grew up with an old soul, just kind of enjoying the basic necessities of life and nothing more. And I grew up an only child, so I didn't have any siblings, just me and the parents and sometimes the dogs and cats. So I grew up always outside. I had a big imagination, and I definitely did a lot of things that my dad kind of put into my brain, especially with photography. That happened at 9 years old. He had an old film camera, and I was like, hey, like, that's pretty cool. I want to take pictures like you, Dad. So started doing that, and then that rolled over into playing the piano. Played that for 9 years, only classical. So you know, for release and, you know, all those, you know, those normal songs, you know, and then kind of picked up sports. I actually grew up overweight, and then wanted to kind of change my life at like 10 years old. I thought, hey, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to get active.
Wow.
Out of nowhere, my parents were like, what? Okay, like, we support you. And so I grew up doing track. I did wrestling. I did golf. And now I picked up boxing as kind of a hobby. Yeah, but I'm kind of just
kicking ass on that.
Oh yeah. You don't want to find me in a bar. If you're like, hey, let's fight, I'd be like, okay, let's go. You'll never know. So yeah, it's me. You know, I'm just a person who likes to do a lot of everything. I've probably done about anything, and I'm just a person that just likes to have fun and be genuine, and I'm an extrovert. I am that person, if you tell me to go talk to that person across the room, I will go talk to that person across the room, you know? Now I'm here in Boise, and been here going on 5 years this August.
Wow.
Just graduated.
So did BSU originally bring you to the area?
It did. Yeah, it's...
How did you pick BSU? Like, out of all these places, you have college, you have all the world to go to. I mean, you're a very extrovert person where you're like, if you wanted to go somewhere, you would make it happen.
Yeah.
So why BSU?
That's kind of exactly happened with Boise State, actually. I was originally going to go golf at ASU. Wow. I had like a scholarship. I went around traveling with my parents, looking at all these different schools. And then I was ready to go golf over there, and I thought, you know, I'm not really sure I have that kind of passion that, you know, a professional golfer would. I thought I would just only be golfing, and that really scared me. And then one day my friend was like, hey, like, I know you're looking at schools, but I'm going to Boise State. And I was like, what's Boise State? Like, that's not a state. Like, where is that? And she goes, Idaho. And I was like, Idaho? That's all the potatoes, you know, all the normal answers you get when people say Idaho. Yeah. And so I started looking up on Google and looked at the pictures of downtown, and I thought, wow, that's actually really pretty. And so I remember looking at it, and I thought, hey, why not? And so, you know, submitted an application, got accepted, and then went for it. And then the first time I saw it was my orientation, which is beginning of August, and went to school 2 weeks later.
Oh my gosh.
So I just went on a whim. I remember my mom being like, Sarah, we went in all these schools. Like, why did you do this? But I'm just that kid that was like, hey, like, it's that black sheep and all the white ones. And I thought, I'm going to do that one. And that's where I ended up.
You and I are so similar. Things like we actually met at a BNI group, mm-hmm. and I got brought with one of our inspectors, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I see so much. Like, I've never had a little sister, but this is like the little me.
Stop, I love that.
You're like, yeah, do you want to do this? Sure, yeah, let's go. Like,
no, that's ask, me.
Yeah, no ask, like no questions asked. Like, I'll just say yes. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. So you were overweight as a kid. Like, what was that like? Like, what led you to that? I mean, you were very active. You were outside. You were doing things. Like,
right.
What was that journey like?
Definitely tough. I think those kind of remnants are still present even in today. I think it kind of happened because my parents always say, oh, you need to grow up a little bit. You need to get taller. But I really was overweight as a kid, like being 150 pounds in third grade. Like,
oh, that's, wow.
That's insane. That's not healthy at all. And start out with bullying, especially at a small school, that's going to be apparent that you're that only big kid. And kind of started out there. And I remember going home and crying and being like, Mom, Dad, like they said this about me. And really just that's what I grew up believing. And I just was tired of, you know, coming home and be like, I was called a whale today. Or someone said that, you know, how do you move around with all that weight? And I just, kids were mean. It was kind of crazy. And, you know, my dad was always that person that was like, oh no, you're going to grow into it. You know, have this food. It'll make you feel better. And he would always shove this food into me. And I love my dad so much. So I was like, I don't want to make him feel bad. And he wouldn't make me feel bad if I didn't eat it. So it was about summer going to seventh grade. Kind of thought, hey, like I live on all this land. I lived about 7 acres at home next to my grandparents and my parents. We shared about that much land. And I would run every day. I started walking first because mm-hmm. I couldn't run.
Yeah.
And I ate salads like probably every meal, only about like as a kid, like I had this thought process. This is what I needed to do to lose weight. And then I went to seventh grade, lost about probably close to 70 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And people were like, whoa, Sarah. And I, that was the first time I thought in my brain, wow, I'm being noticed just because I lost the weight. And so it's kind of a little bit journey. I've been on that journey ever since then. It's been up and down and around and
right.
Lots of, yeah, mental changes there too.
So do you think at that age, I mean, it was your walking that turned into running that then turned into healthy eating mm-hmm. that really turned yourself around? And then is that when you got into sports?
Yeah, seventh grade, that next spring, that's when I got into track. I got into throwing. So I thought, hey, I just barely got into running. I'm not running. You don't want to see me running around that track. But I did javelin. I did discus. And I really loved that, just knowing what my body was capable of doing. And then followed that the next year. And then as soon as I got into high school, tried out a little bit for volleyball, but then decided wrestling kind of spoke to me because, you know, it was attractive to me to hear that, you know, you don't really eat. You're constantly working out, you know, you're going to be fit. And I was like, well, I want to be fit. I've been wanting that since I was a kid, you know, since that first time I started. So that's kind of what it turned into.
And how did your parents, I mean, support you along that way? Like your dad was obviously giving you food as a coping mechanism.
Yep.
And now you've taken that away from it. Mm-hmm. And then now you're like, oh, I'm going to go do all these things. And how did they watch you evolve into that? And how did that change your dynamic with your dad?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, they were pretty supportive. I mean, they could tell that I was happier. I mean, as a kid, they didn't know it, but I was like suicidal as a young kid. And
wow.
So they just saw like a different light in me. And, you know, I was asking them like, hey, Dad, can you go like play ball with me? And we'd go outside and play catch. And I think with my dad, you know, it got a little bit hard because I still grew up thinking, I don't want to make my dad feel bad because if I didn't say yes to having food, he'd be like, oh, well, you're going to miss out because it's pretty good. Like those kind of things.
Those slide comments that just start coming mm-hmm. and they don't necessarily realize that they're doing it or
right.
how hurtful it can be or how right. much it weighs on you. Mm-hmm. But it's just that constant reminder.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, he still does that today as, you know, a young woman. And especially now, you know, I've done like 75 hard,
yeah.
just about to finish that. And even telling them no, then and just seeing their eating habits and how unhealthy they are, I think I've had this huge awakening with just kind of seeing that. And it's gotten a lot easier to say no, but I definitely kind of look at them and think, hey, like, they just grew up in that way. They don't really know much better because, you know, grew up in the 1950s and 60s, whole different kind of mindset on food and, you know, how to live.
Right.
And so now I just think, well, as long as they like what they're doing, I can do something completely different that makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about 75 Hearts. Some people know about it. Some people don't. You've been on this journey. You're almost finished.
Almost done.
You got a birthday this weekend. You're going to go celebrate.
Well, not necessarily my birthday. My birthday isn't until like July.
Wait, whose birthday is it that you're celebrating this weekend then?
I don't have any birthdays this week.
No.
I have some coming up in the next weeks, but it's like a celebration.
Okay, it's your birthday.
It's my 75th birthday, I guess.
There you go.
75 Hard is 75 days of drinking a gallon of water a day, reading 10 pages in a book every day, 2 45-minute workouts, one outside, one inside, no cheat meals ever, and then you take a progress picture every day. And yeah, I've been doing that and I'm on like the 71st day or 72nd. My last day is this Friday. Whoop.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I think I took a lot of good things from it, but also I realized it really probably wasn't the best as I look at it at large, because now my whole mindset has changed about eating. Mm. And eating has already been an issue for me growing up. But now, right, I look at it, I'm like, wow, can I ever eat anything bad the same, or would I make myself feel bad? And I think I'm always going to be addicted to be like, oh, I didn't work out twice and now I'm falling off. And,
right,
you know, it's kind of made me a little bit crazy, because, you know, I'd go and visit with friends and be like, hey, like, I actually need to go because I haven't done my outside workout. Yeah. So I'd have to leave things that are important to me, like family time or friend time, and saying no. Oh, and I didn't mention you don't drink.
Oh.
You don't drink the 75 days. That actually was the easiest for me. Started out with saying like, hey, no, I'm just not drinking right now. It's kind of, yeah, all you leave it at. But now I really don't think I'd want to drink. I'm going to drink the first time for Tree Fort this Saturday. Yeah. Pray for me, please. I have no idea how it's going to go.
I'm taking videos of you.
Oh, no, you're going to be there. Yep. That's right. Yeah, make sure to be like, hey, Sarah, here's a drink and here's water. So I can like back it, you know, balance it out. But overall, I look great. My mentality's changed. I'm more disciplined for my business. And that's definitely the biggest takeaways that I'm really happy about.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's the model of 75 Hard is not a longevity or a lifestyle. It's kind of a reboot. And it sounds like though those things, you know, your eating habits, not drinking, working out have been a staple for the last 75 days. But it's going to be a slow moderation coming back to, you know, reality, mm-hmm, of like, hey, I can continue to have a girl's night and not need to go and work out, not feel bad about that, but,
right,
still making it a priority in your day. Hey, I'm going to work out in the morning time versus at nighttime and, mm-hmm, two times a day. And I remember sending you a message and be like, hey, do you want to go get cocktails? And you're like, I'm not drinking right now. I was like, well, that's lame.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. And, but we, you know, like I understood what you were going through, and that's when you had told me you were doing 75 Hard, and we transitioned, right? We, instead of going to cocktails, we went to coffee. Mm-hmm. And it's just a change, and sometimes it's really hard for us to tell other people. I mean, mm-hmm, I went a week without drinking, and I was like, oh my God, this is the hardest thing to tell people. Like, they just have questions, and it's just a habit that is so recognized.
Yeah.
And that when we stop it, people are like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong? And it's like, mm-hmm, okay, it's okay to go a week without having alcohol. Like,
yeah,
maybe there's just some bigger issues that we have if we can't go a week, right, without alcohol.
Hey, you said it, not me.
But it does. I mean, those things make you feel better and they get your priorities straight, especially with, you know, your business. Mm-hmm. How would you say that's been helping your business?
Well, before 75 Hard, you know, my photography, it is all over the place because I mostly work for real estate photography and the media team here, and everything else is kind of on the side, and just started up my own photography, including a lot more than just real estate. And, you know, on those days where, you know, I didn't have a lot of jobs, I'd sleep in and then I'd just watch TV. And then I would just be lazy. And then I wouldn't go work out. And I'd eat a lot because I was like, well, you know, I'm lazy. You might as well eat because that's what you do when you just kind of have a day off. And I just wasn't getting done a lot that I wanted to. And now I've made myself a routine of getting up early. And I'm not a morning person. Like, I used to be a night owl.
Yep.
But now I've completely switched. And I like getting up in the morning, which I never thought I would say. Good thing this is being recorded because, you know, I never would have thought that day would come because I like sleeping in. Who doesn't? And right. Being able to work on my own, I could have that option. But now I just see how much more potential there is when you get up early and get a lot more done.
You do. I mean, I was the same way. Like, I could stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning and be completely fine, just like hanging out at home or watching TV, and then you sleep in until 10 o'clock. And even as, like, when I was working on our team as a showing agent, I'm like, oh, hopefully they don't call me before 10 a.m. because I'm still sleeping. Yep. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I went to the gym and I got this done and all these emails are out. Mm-hmm. And like,
it's like before 10.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you can actually get a lot of stuff done because you just start on the roll and then. Right. You have already started things when people are still sleeping, and then the world wakes up, and then you're, you know, at appointments or whatnot, and then you just roll with the momentum. Mm-hmm. And so you're already ahead of where everybody else has been.
Yeah.
Which is
that feels good.
It does feel good. And it feels, I mean, it's a transition for sure of like, why would I wake up early? Like, I don't have nothing to do. Like, I can sleep in, it's totally fine. But when you start waking up early, you're like, oh my gosh, I could be doing this and I could be doing that. And here's
that,
this.
Fit that in and could work on more marketing today and have a whole content day. And I never would have thought that. But now that's how my mindset's turning because business takes a lot to do.
Yes. Yes. So you came here to BSU. You got a business degree. Like, is that honestly helping with what you're doing in photography?
Oh, goodness. No. Because I, you know, communications is probably helping the most. I mean, I've always been a people person. Like, even as a little kid, I'd go up to someone and be like, hi, do you want to be friends, you know? But the business, it was all online, the degree I got for that.
Okay.
And just how I learned, it was just more, like, lingo and, you know, definitions. And I just, that's not how my brain works. At the very end of, like, my school career, like, my last semester in my junior year, I was taking a media class, like, a broadcasting class. And, you know, I was able to be the talent, the director, the producer. And after that, I sat with my professor, and I was like, man, you know, I really wish I could have done this instead of business because that's just how I see myself, how you're able to create. And you know, I missed that opportunity, but it's not really helping. I think to a lot of people, it probably could have gone without school, especially here I am doing photography and you could have gone to school, but mostly everything I know right now is self-taught.
Yeah. And who, I mean, you got on with Sunny Skies Media, which is phenomenal. That's actually who we use for our real estate photography. And like, what is that like not being able to use your actual degree? Like, does it bother you? Does it not?
It kind of does bother me sometimes, but then sometimes not, because maybe photography isn't going to be forever. You know, if I could go off and like, hey, maybe I do want to go back to 9 to 5, which really don't see myself doing, but if I do, it's a very good thing to fall back on. But, you know, I did a lot of grinding, a lot of tears, a lot of depression, a lot of good memories, and I thought, you know, that could benefit me. But, you know, it was more of the experience than anything. I just have a plaque that says my degree, and it's kind of how it stands right now. But, you know, I feel proud of myself for going. I'm actually the first person in my family to go to college.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like that's good, knowing that I'm setting a whole new cycle for, you know, my family, if I ever have one. And that's kind of what it means to me at this point.
Yeah. And I think people, you know, expect you to go to college and to get this degree, and then that's what you're going to be. Like, that's what you're going to be, and that's the longevity of your career. And I just don't believe that either. I mean, I went to a small, you know, I went to CWI, I went to CSI, and then I finished my degree at BSU, and I was the older person, you know, going to classes. Like, I didn't ever have that, like, full college experience. And sometimes I wish I had, to just meet so many more friends, but I'm an old soul where I'm like, honestly, even if I was younger, it probably wouldn't attract me because I just want to go do whatever I want to do and like not deal with the people in my era. Like I don't care.
I'm with you.
But, you know, even just getting that piece of paper, like the thrill that you have of accomplishing it mm-hmm. is so much. And I think over the years, college, you know, what it stands for and what it means is changing. You know, a lot of people aren't just going out there and saying, hey, I'm going to go get a college degree and then I'm going to do this work and then I'm going to, you know, go get this job position. Mm-hmm. It's more entrepreneurial, which is so much different than what I'm used to. But college is there for the experience. Like, yes, yeah. you get the plaque. Yes, you get to walk on stage. Mm-hmm. But it is those, you did have to show up. You did have to be on time. You did have to make the sacrifice. You did have to go to, you know, these classes and do the work. And in all of that, that's learning life. And that's learning different yep. techniques to the world and to being on time for meetings, though I still am never. Oh. And it's, you know, it's something that people want to say, like, I'm sure with you having older parents is like, oh, that's not what, you know, that's not the college we looked at. But it's like, it's okay that that's not the college we looked at because it placed me here. Now I got all these connections. Yeah, now I'm building my life. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm making these, you know, friends off of it. But you would have never been where you are right now had you not gone to college for all of those things.
Exactly.
Which is, I mean,
my impulsiveness doesn't say, just go over there. Yeah.
Oh. And okay, so tell us a little bit more about what you're doing with Sunny Skies Media. Like, what does a day look like as a photographer? How are you learning things? What does that look like?
Well, Sunny Skies, so I'm still an independent contractor underneath them. So, you know, right now I'm also doing headshots for them. So it's more than just real estate photos because I only do still photos. I don't do drones. I don't do like the nice like 3D tours that you sometimes see on listings. I'm just kind of staying with the photos because that's just like what sticks with me. And so every day is different. I could either have a packed day full of like headshots, and then go to a home. And especially in the summer, it is definitely like homes all day, every day. I get up at 8 a.m. and I finish at 8 p.m. sometimes.
Wow.
But to me, it's just like, okay, I just got to get to look at another beautiful home. And I just have a love for homes. And so, you know, the time flies by. But my headshots last like 15 minutes because it's just quick and I know exactly what they want. They're all ready. And how I'm kind of learning right now is that my boss, Sunny, her name is also Melissa, however you know her, but she's been such an awesome mentor. She has given me all the resources to, you know, do all these headshots because she was mostly the headshot person. She started out with real estate photography and then she's now running everything and has a team underneath her. And so she kind of trusted me to take that on. And then I told her, hey, Sunny, like, you know, I really like the studio. Is there any way that I could use this? She goes, oh, yeah, this studio is yours. Like, come in here, get practice other kind of lighting. And so now I'm learning all kinds of different lighting techniques and different photography, you know, utensils and things like that. And so I'm kind of learning everything and anything because there's so much you can do with just light and especially a studio. And real estate is different for me because it's a home. And so you know your basic shots, but, you know, I'm getting more creative and like, oh, this extra shot could look pretty cool. You know, and maybe if I frame it a little bit different or get a detail shot, you know, it can get a little bit different because every house is not really the same.
No house is the same.
You would know that too. Oh, yeah.
No house is the same. And photos can make or break a listing. Yep. I mean, they really do. And when I talk with buyers, I tell them, like, a photo can make a room look so much bigger or so much smaller. Like, let's go to the actual home and take a look at it because a photo is so, like, it just distorts it sometimes. And it's not by anybody's wrongdoing or right doing. It's just sometimes the angle of it. Sometimes, you know, every photographer has a different angle or
has
a different eye and catches it just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And there's also people that are like, oh, make this room look bigger than it actually is. And I'm like, yeah, that sucks. But I mean, for us, it's it's so nice to be able to go click through, like take a look at homes in a really simple way. But it's also, that's just a part of the puzzle. You got to go walk through the home and see it. And that's, I mean, honestly, that's my favorite part, is just going and looking at all the different homes and the way people live and where people live. And it's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. I'll walk into there, especially when people are living there. I'm like, wait, this is your furniture? Like, you staged this? That's really good, actually. Yeah. And you never know. And I'm, like I said, I'll nerd out. I'll come in and be like, oh my gosh, the brick like chimney over here. Like, that's so cool. Like, I just love every second of it.
That's cool. So with the studio, what are you doing with the studio?
So I definitely have people come in. He wants, you know, to do some shoots just for a regular portrait session. But I'm working on something called Beards of Boise right now.
Tell us about that.
Okay, let's do it. So Beards of Boise kind of happened. Me and my boss were talking about this guy I had photographed. And she goes, Sarah, like, oh, he's kind of, yeah, he's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Okay, don't watch this. You know who I'm talking about. But we started talking about it. And she goes, yeah, like, I kind of want to do a shoot with him. Like, let's get him in here. I thought, yeah, like, what's an excuse that we could tell him? She goes, well, he's got a nice beard. Tell him we just want to take a picture of his beard. And I was like, wait, Sonny, I think we could be on to something. I was like, what if we just did, like, a whole row of, like, beard, like, shoots? Beards of Boise. And we were talking about it, and I was like, wait, I feel like it's already a thing, because Beards of Boise sounds like a Boise thing.
Yeah.
And then I looked up on Instagram, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, it's not an account. Like, we can take this, copyright it right now, made the account. And so now we've turned it into this donation-based, you know, photo shoot idea that these men that come in with the beards, mustaches, kind of debating on goatees. It's got to be pretty cool, you know, pretty sick looking.
Yep.
But they come in and we do a couple shoots. I like to do themes, you know. Somebody was a cowboy, someone was like a Viking, you know, kind of that's like plays their personality a little bit into it. And those donations go to fund a homeless man, get a haircut, a beard trim, and they get ready to, you know, go back to work, kind of looking at deeper partnerships with barbers, and then hopefully like some place that can donate clothing to kind of help with that. But that's kind of the vision. I do see it as a nonprofit, but my ignorant self thought that a nonprofit was like, oh, I'm just gonna do this and here's all the info, but it takes a lot more. So we're just gonna take baby steps, but we're just kind of starting with some shoots right now, and men like the idea, and so I really think it could go, you know, places.
Yeah. And it gives them, I mean, some photos to be able to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I want to say, doesn't Boise do like best beard? Like, and part of.
Pretty sure
that they do. Like, you have to submit your photo for the best beard and you can.
And they're going to nail it.
They're like, look at these photos done by Sarah Brewer.
Oh, yeah. You don't got photos like this. Heck yeah.
Oh, that's. So where are you finding these men with beards?
So I had this one group reach out to me. They have a couple different names, so I don't know what to call them. They're underneath something called the Beard Struggle, which is like a beard product line. They're also under like Idaho Cutthroats, which is like this Viking association. So they're underneath an organization, and they reached out to me and said, hey, found your page and we'd love to sponsor you. And
damn,
so this
girl.
Last I know, I was like, okay, like, see, like, I see you up there. And so it started rolling. They brought in five guys on Saturday, and it's just slowly, well, not really slowly, it's becoming word of mouth really quickly. And today I went to a coffee shop before this, and I was in there and I recognized this guy who used to work at another coffee shop, and I was like, hey, I recognize you. I was like, I have something I have to ask you. And I do this. I'll come up to guys with like a great beard, because there are great beards around here. I don't know if I never noticed it until now, but they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
So I'll go up to a guy at the gym. I'll go in the middle of public and be like, hey, you got a great mustache or beard, and I'm wondering, would you be interested in this? And their answer is always yes. And so I'm like, yeah, have you ever done a shoot? No. Okay, well, cool.
Wow.
That's perfect, because I love those kind of people. So I'm going to change your whole mindset about photo shoots at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's how I get them. I just ring them in. I'm like, hey, that's my extrovert and me. And I'm like, you, I need you. I want you. Come take a shoot with me.
Sarah's just out there like rogue.
You see me in the middle of the streets. I'm like, you. Yeah. Totally.
That is awesome. I just want to like put a beard on now and be in your photo shoot. I'm like, can I just put a beard on?
Oh my gosh. I'd be down for it. Honestly. I'd be like, yeah, it's natural. You know, women could do it too.
That's so awesome. And I love that you are, you know, taking and bringing this back to the area, like really bringing it back to locals needing a haircut, needing a beard trim to be able to start getting working in the workforce again. Like you are teaming up with the homeless shelters, mm-hmm. you're teaming up with nonprofits around here, which is just showing your giving heart to this community, which is unbelievable. So I have to ask you, did you get your business cards made?
No. No, because I don't know. I'm just struggling on what to say. Like, I think I'm still trying to kind of carve out what should this business card say? Because, like, I can't put it on the whole back, like, oh, this whole paragraph on, like, what we're doing, you know, has to nail it down to, like, bullet points and find that perfect picture to put on the front. So, I mean, sorry, guys, whoever I end up picking for it, but maybe I go with a logo that I made, but, you know, this week is pretty free, and so, you know, I spent some time at the coffee shop kind of debating that. So it's funny that you asked that, but no, but we're on it. We're working on it.
I have to ask you because of your photography business cards as well. Like, you were like, you know, when we met for coffee, you were like, I need to get business cards made. I'm like, Sarah, why have you not had business cards made yet? Like, come on.
And those are made, thank God.
Good gracious.
Oh, yeah. Those were done about a month ago. And I was like, everybody who said you need these done would be so proud.
So here's my little push to get you going with your beard of Boise. Mm-hmm. When are you setting these people up for coming into photo shoots? Like, how are you managing that along with your real estate photos, along with your regular photo shoots that you do for people?
So what's nice about real estate is that, you know, I can start out the whole week having a free calendar. And by the time it hits Monday, I am booked. Like, right. That's how real estate goes. You never know when you're going to get a listing ready. And so I book out in advance, and those guys are just like, hey, like this week doesn't work, but next week or the following week works. So I'll just put them on my calendar right then and there. I have the address to the studio, and they'll come in and get it done. And so I just work around my real estate, and then obviously my other shoots that are with Sarah Lynn Photography. But that's still kind of picking up a little bit, you know, not really getting booked quite yet. So, you know, I have that leisurely time to do theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. What would be like your ultimate client if they were like, hey, I want this, this, and this. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is speaks to me. Like, who are those clients for you?
So I always thought it'd be business professionals because I do so much headshots and studio work, but it truly is couples. Like,
wow.
I am a hopeless romantic, and I did a shoot for my friend Emily a little bit ago, and her fiance are just so in love. And the whole time I was just like, oh, I'm so lovely, but you guys look so beautiful. And like if someone came up to me like, hey, can you do me and my boyfriend's photos? I'd be like, yes, absolutely. Like, let's go.
Oh,
so I love doing that because I love love.
Oh, you are a hopeless romantic.
Oh, gosh, so hopeless.
And you're like, and my love life is stagnant.
Non-existent. So if you're listening, I am single as a Pringle. Yeah, put it out there right now.
Oh, you're the best. Okay, you're single. What do you like to do? What does Sarah like to do besides photography? Like, who is she?
Sarah, who is she? Frick. Well, I am 22, going on 23, so like 23 and three quarters. And I mentioned earlier, I like to box. That's kind of my hobby right now. I like to just be badass, and I kind of put that out there, and like going out hiking. I like to go swimming. I will paddleboard even though I fall off. I will go skiing even though I hit the water every single time I get up. I really am an outdoor person. Like, I'm just a sunshine person. I like to hang out with friends when it's nice out. I love to paint even though I suck. Like, I'm just kind of that person that does everything because I just feel it's just the you know, idea that the life is so endless and like, why wouldn't you want to do everything? And so that's kind of how I live my life, is just, you know, I wake up just thankful that I have another day to live, that, you know, I could go out there and smile at someone because that could change their day. I hang out with family more often. I've kind of realized that that's more important these days. I like to read. I've kind of always been a bookworm. So again, find me reading romantic books or kind of thrillers. I love cars. I love sexy cars. Like, talked to a guy yesterday, didn't even know him. And I said, hey, you have a really hot car. What did you name it? And they're always like, I'm not a car guy. And I'm like, that's really unfortunate, because I would name her, you know, Maria, because she's freaking sexy, you know? Like, that's just how I kind of am. Yeah, that's, you know, like I said, working out, it's kind of my jam too. I like to cook really interesting things, really weird things that kind of work out sometimes.
What do you like to cook that's weird?
Well, I shared the other day, I like steamed broccoli, then I put everything seasoning on it, and then drizzled Chick-fil-A sauce.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I said that to my parents, and they're literally serving, and they're like, okay, are you sure you don't want us to go out? I'm like, no, eat it. Like, it's really good. And they're like, oh, it actually kind of worked out, because those just don't really go together. Like, barbecue. Like, what is going on, you know? So, yeah, that's kind of about me. I just love life. I like looking at everything like it's brand new. You could see me looking at, like, a sunset and just staring at it. Like, I will drop everything and look at it, because I think life is so beautiful. I've been given a beautiful life, and I've been given a chance to do everything that I can. And, yeah, that's kind of what I do. I also go to church, so.
I was just going to ask, like, where do you think you get that mindset from? Because so many people, like, you talked about your childhood and being down and being depressed, and your parents didn't realize that, you know, you had those suicidal thoughts. But you have this glorious outlook on life. Like, where are you getting that from?
I think it was kind of that sadness that, you know, took over me as a kid. And as I kind of grew up, you know, I always wanted that urge for people to see me. And I thought, why would I want other people to see me when I should be the one looking and seeing others?
Yeah.
You know, if no one's going to look at me the way that I see myself, and we can all, you know, have that, you know, lookout or outlook on someone. But I don't know. I just felt that I was not given a chance to be who I am and seen for who I am. And so that's why I want to look at people that way. And I think because I was also alone as a kid and didn't have much friends, I was outside, you know, and Washington's beautiful, you know. Yeah. It's a very green area. It's lots of wildlife, especially where I lived in the country. And so I would go out and walk in the woods by myself and have just solitude. And I think that's why I look at life so beautifully, because I mean, we get to do everything, and not everybody in the world gets to do that. And so I think it's just kind of that big acknowledgement about that, and just being kind to people, because that will come back. And that's not the main reason why I do it, but, you know, it comes back to, what would childhood Sarah want?
Right. Which is so deep, because I think a lot of people's trauma comes from their childhood of, like, being the person, you know, that we needed mm-hmm. as children, so that maybe one day we can help another child mm-hmm. the way that we needed it.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I definitely resonate with that outlook, especially, you know, with life. Like, my sisters were older than me, so I seemed to feel like I was an only child at some points. You know, they had children really young. I was young. But I think it's that alone time sometimes that people really need to be like, what do you have in your life? And what is so minuscule, and, you know, the gratitude piece where it's like, oh, it's a sun setting, and yeah, it sets every single night, but like, why is this unique, and why are other people unique, and like mm-hmm. really honing in on others, because when we're looking at them, we hope that they're doing the same thing, and then that's how we get our, you know, kind of gratification from them as people.
Absolutely.
And especially being an extrovert, like, you know, sometimes it's hard because we're like, we're out there and we're doing these things and we feel like people want to look at us, but like, we're not really trying to do that. We're mm-hmm. just like being us.
Yeah.
Which is hard, because you're like, what do you mean? Like, I'm just doing whatever I want.
Yeah, literally me. Yeah. All the time.
Oh, and I mean, as a kid, like, I just want to go back to when you talked about your parents didn't really recognize that, like, you had suicidal thoughts. Like, How was that? Like, what tip could you give other kids that, you know, you were in that same situation or a similar situation? I think our world just has a lot going on right now. Parents are busy with work, you know, yeah. like the just so much fear and anxiety, and kids are so much more alone now with mm-hmm. themselves. What would you speak on that?
Well, especially nowadays, it's very different than how I was growing up, because not technology really wasn't a thing. And I actually studied this as my senior project, was the effect of technology on kids and how parents aren't involved. They kind of use technology as a parenting tool. And I really looked into that, and it's because kids just think their value is in those cell phones. And I see it in my own family. I'm an aunt of 22. I know I grew up as an only child, but I have older siblings as well. They're kind of half siblings.
Gotcha.
But I look at them, and I know how sad they are. And even then, I listen to my roommate, who's a teacher, and she teaches third grade. And she has kids suicidal as well. And it's just that they're so dependent on phones and how their value is found in that. And I think if I could tell a kid, like, hey, I just want you to put the phone down, and I want you to go outside, and I just want you to take a deep breath, smell that fresh air, and just kind of sit there and be like, who am I? Because I never had that as a kid, because I just was told who I was because of other people. Like, mm-hmm. I was a fat kid because other people told me I was a fat kid, and that's all I saw myself as. So, yeah, that's kind of the advice that I would give. I kind of got out of that suicidal routine by, I went to a church camp, and that definitely kind of changed things around. Not to say that going to church will help, but that's kind of what helped with me. But if you can find something that is a solid foundation that you can always rely on, say it's a sport, a book, you know, different kind of hobby, just really put all of yourself into there, because you know that's always going to be there and make you happy.
Right. And I mean, it's crazy for you to talk about that with, you know, phones, because social media is such a big part, and photography is such a big part within social media.
Yeah.
How do you combat that?
Oh, I hate it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't like being on my phone. Like, I'm really responsive when it comes to my work and, like, my friends. But, like, Instagram, I'm not. I'm really trying to be, you know, really on that with, like, posting and what to post and marketing, but it's really just not my forte. Like, I keep saying, it's like my family, like, one day when I get enough money, I'm having someone take that over, because yeah. I don't like it. Just not me, because I, you know, I look at my roommates too, and sometimes they, you know, kind of think that that's what they need to rely on, but, and other friends too my age, not just them, not to put them on the spot, but, you know, they look at cell phones and recording their life as, know, that's what they need to do. But I think so differently, because I don't really need that, because I'm just enjoying life as it is right now. Right. I think a cell phone is such a distraction from that.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, it's hard with social media, because, you know, I do love showing people how I live life and how to live life and in a more positive aspect mm-hmm. than it. But I'll tell you right now, I don't care. I don't ever look at how many likes I have. I don't care how many, you know, views it has or shares. And sometimes it can be hard, because when that's what your business is mm-hmm. and that's what you're trying to do, you're trying to get more reach, you're trying to, you know, get more people to view, especially with this podcast, of like being out there, and you need to hit your numbers, or you need to evaluate your numbers. It's like, honestly, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's more the experience, it's more the draw to it, it's more that, like, hey, I have you on this podcast, you're now going to tell another friend, I'm going to get connected with them, which Michael, who, you know, he was amazing and has became a great friend, you know, yes. after that. And it's just those small connections that, like, I really want this to be driven by. And so for your business to not be, you know, like, honed in on that, and at your age, I mean, if I, you know, I would have never known that you were that young, because that's the realm. That's the realm. You know what I mean? Like, 22-year-old, 23-year-olds, like, going out, partying, like, you know, videoing everything, making all these reels, doing all this stuff. And it is. It's a distraction. Mm-hmm. But people are also optimizing on that distraction of other people. Mm-hmm. And, like, making money off of it.
Yeah, I know. Social selling. Like, I can't believe that is such a, like, people make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah.
And I think, and I know how much time they're spending on their phone.
Yeah.
Like every time I'm on Instagram, they're always active. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, I would hate that, especially if you're like a mom and you have kids. And, you know, that just really takes away the meaning out of stuff, I feel like. Because to me, it just doesn't seem as genuine as I could be. If you put that phone down and thought, wow, I'm enjoying this moment as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me crazy sometimes.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel that and understand that. And like, enjoy it now, you know, like there's always that social post where it's like the old lady with no phone and then like everybody else has their phones around them. And mm-hmm. it's like, no, just like experience it for what it is, because you will never also portray that to anybody else of that exact feeling you had, because everybody has a different perspective.
Right.
Everybody has a different feeling about the situation. So like, why tell the world what's happening? Like, somebody else will.
Right.
So Sarah, how can we help you with your business?
Well, just really looking to grow my portfolio in the sense of couples. So if there's anybody out there who's in love with their honey.
Not me.
Oh, it's okay. I'll do sexy. No, I'm just kidding. I'll do nice portraits of you. Like I've tried to narrow down what I like to do, but I love photographing everything. Like, yeah. I just love it all. But really just focusing on couples and any individuals who would like, you know, studio portraits, because I'm really liking studio portraits. I think I got a little bit of a knack for that. But yeah, couples and those kind of things. I mean, following is great too, but it's more so if get to know me, that's where you'll really get to know a little bit about me and what I value. And then from there, you'll be able to be like, hey, well, I know exactly who you would do well with based on who you are. And that's kind of how you've helped me, is just getting to know me and kind of my whole vision and where I see this going, I think is really what helped me, just getting to know more people.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm a business owner. It's yeah. crazy. I am one. And so, yeah, just getting to know more people would be great. And, you know, Sarah Lynn Photography is my photography page.
Yeah.
Kind of my portfolio at this time. But.
And Beards of Boise.
Beards of Boise, all one word.
Okay. Yep. And can they reach you on Instagram? Is there an email for them?
So beardsofboiseid@gmail.com is the email for that. You can also inquire about my photography at Sarah Lynn Photography. It's Sarah at Sarah Lynn Photography, and it's Lynn Lyn, because okay. Fun fact, my middle name's Lynette, but I always thought it was spelled with two N's until I was like 20, and my mom was like, hey, you know it's spelled with one N, right? And I was like, no, I did not know that. So yeah, now I know. So it's Lyn.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, I appreciate you so much coming on here, telling us a little bit more about your story and who you are as a person. And I think that's just what draws me to you, is like, we can have those discussions. We can have those coffee dates.
Yeah.
Cocktail dates soon.
Ooh, after this Friday, I'm there.
And I mean, just get to know you as a person and your photography. You do an absolute amazing job.
Thank you.
And my hope is that, you know, even if one couple reaches out to you and are like, hey, didn't know, shoot, like that we've done our job, right?
Right.
So I want to thank you again for coming on here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're so fun. So once again, make sure you follow Raw Thoughts Podcast. You can inquire on there as well. There's a link in the bio if you would like to be a guest. There's also another link on there if you would like to sponsor and help donate anything to the Raw Thoughts Podcast. So the next step is actually getting some sponsorships on here. And you have actually inquired on that.
I have.
So excited to bring Sarah Lynn Photography onto sponsoring this. And cheers. I appreciate it. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Yes. Bye.
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 Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.